2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Everybody, this is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com, and I am your host, the one, the only, the majorly tilted, no more thanks to Jed Jericho, Boomer's daddy.
You're still and tilted.
I'm not tilted because of Jed Jericho. I'm not that tilted anymore. And joining me is the one, the only, the I like to say I told you so about Adam Wainwright. Chop it all.
I can't say
that. Okay.
I'm not going to rub that in anybody's face.
Here's the thing. Let's go through that here real quick. First off, guys, we are brought to you by FantasyDraft.com. Make sure you get over there. We call it FD2 on Slack. Sign up with the promo code CHIEFST. That's CHIEFST. Make sure that you email Kevin, that's ffootballgeek@gmail.com, your screen name. You're going to get 2 free DFS ebooks. You're going to get 2 free months of the DFS Army VIP subscription. And it is definitely 100% worth it over there. They got a great Survivor. Chop, have you looked at the Survivor for tomorrow or for next week?
I have, but not on PC, so I don't see the payouts if you make it all the way through.
Well, they don't have the payouts listed yet, I don't think.
They should somewhere. It's I think it's on their website somewhere too. It's the only reason that I found that, you know, the last place guy that gets all the way through the fifth round gets at least double his money and first place gets whatever. I kind of knew, but the contest has grown, so those payouts went up, I would assume.
Yeah, the payouts went up. Tonight I've got a 5 out of 105 shot of taking home some cash. So
5 out of 105.
Yeah, it's there's 105 tonight in the final round.
So
because they upped it to $3,000 this week. So this week we're looking at first place is $400.
Is tonight the payout round, or is tonight the last round to get in?
No, tonight's the final round.
Okay, tonight pays.
Tonight's the payout. Yeah, tonight
because
pays.
Because that's the part that, I mean, I'm not following right now because I can't, because my team shit the bed on Wednesday or something. I ended up like 207th out of 210. It was the grossest thing I've ever seen before in my life. I thought I built a safe lineup. And I mean, and really and truly since, I've struggled for 3 days in a row with bats. Whereas before, with that OB ISO stat that we've been following, I've been just picking stellar bat after stellar bat. And it just maybe gave me a false sense of confidence or something. I mean, I know it's streaky and I know we have our ups and downs, but Jesus, I thought I'd figured something out. And man, yesterday I had stellar bats again. They just crapped all over the place. If my pitchers hadn't saved me, I'd be like 0 for 3 in slates, but because I've done okay with pitchers, I've squeaked in a couple times. I've still been hitting my double ups, but oh my God. I mean, I'm still monetarily having a good week, but you know, spiritually, shit.
All right, so let's get everybody in there over in the Survivor. It's $8 to join.
It's fun.
It's a lot of fun. $8 for if you make it all the way through Friday. It basically not only do you double your money if you finish in last place. So I don't have to put in a team tonight, and I'm going to double up. I'm going to at least be cashing out $80 because I put 5 teams in there, but. You know, if you do make it through, it's a lot of fun, and it kind of extends your bankroll a little bit, and it gets you through.
If you break it down, $8 is $2 a slate.
Yeah, basically. So, and I know all of you guys are playing at least $2 a slate. So, there you go. All right, we're going to do things a little bit different here today. Obviously, there's 15 games tonight in Major League Baseball. This is going to be the last full on Boar baseball show. Everything next week will be kind of just a general slate rundown, you know, little kind of a quick hitter, you know, hit and miss, blah, 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 in preparation. I'll be taking a lot of time off next week to prep for NFL Week 1, getting everybody ready for their responsibilities going into NFL season, because that is what pays the bills around here. We will get everything going. Chop, today is going to be a little strategy session, okay? And I have to call you out.
All right.
You ready for
this? Yeah, fire away.
All right. You've been screaming to our members in Slack on FD2 that pitchers don't mean anything. Pitchers don't mean anything.
Less.
Hold on. Listen.
Less.
Listen. And that your bats mean everything else. And your bats mean this. And your bats mean that. And that you can... You don't have to worry about pitching quite as much because of you have to worry about bats. Yet, and I quote, nailing Scherzer and Hamels, while much more predictable than Moore, shows why pitching is important, especially in cash formats. FD2 operates, in my opinion, much more like a cash format site, in that the contests aren't that big in MLB. That allows you to take risk out of your lineups and really perform well with consistent bats. Okay. Now, there's two things. One, I agree with you in this. You don't have to worry about the ownership percentages quite as much, although you still have to worry about it at certain times in certain spots.
Like tonight.
Maybe not for cash, but for tournaments you do. Yes, like tonight. But... like I have been telling you and telling you and telling you, it depends on the slate on whether or not you want to pay up for pitching or pay up for bats. I think tonight is a great bat night from just what I've looked at. I think the kind of streak that we got on where we were just getting everything on bats and not having to worry about pitching was kind of one of those things where we didn't have to worry about if our pitcher did really crap the bed. I mean, we were cashing some nights and winning three-man leagues with, you know, negatives from our SP2. But last night, when you have a guy as highly owned as Scherzer, and this is two nights in a row where in the Survivor, the number one pitcher of the night has been at least 70% owned. Okay. And, we'll talk about that strategy here in just a second.
In what contest?
The Survivor.
Okay. Cash games, he was only 40, 45.
Right. Well, your normal cash games only pay out, you know, 45 to 50%. You know, double ups pay out about 45, and then your 50-50s pay out 50%. Well, the Survivor, it's top 70% advance, and Jed Jerko just barely. I mean,
no. So I understand. I mean, that's why you're going to be even more secure with pitchers than normal,
right? And even in the home run last night, which is their $25 tournament, okay? Their $25 tournament last night, the home run, Scherzer was 48%, okay. And I've long said, when you have a guy that has the ability to get you anywhere between 30 to 40 plus FD2 points, or I don't know what he got on FanDuel last night. What was it, 60 plus?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm looking here. I think it was.
Eight innings, 10 strikeouts, no earned runs, and the win?
66. Okay. So when you have a guy that can pop you 66 or 60 or 30 or 35 or 40, you know, one guy that has the ability to just absolutely dominate the field on a consistent basis. Now we know that, you know, anything can happen at any time and blah, 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 blah. But when you have a guy that has the ability to absolutely just dominate the field, it is very – and I'm talking about pitching, not hitting, pitching. It is very, very, very hard to fade him. On one pitcher sites, you're looking for an ownership percentage of, if he's going to be over, I'd say 40%, that's when you can fade, especially if there's somebody that can get close, maybe within 10, 15 points. But on a two-pitcher site, he almost becomes a must-play. That would be the time where I would not fade a guy like Max Scherzer or Jose Fernandez, because you can get creative with that second pitching spot. And at least I thought I was on DraftKings going with Adam Wainwright, and then he found out he was almost 40% owned. And if I would have known that, I would have stacked the Mets.
Yeah, he was heavy in fantasy
he
draft, too.
6,900 on DraftKings last night, okay? So basically what I'm saying is this, is the you have to be able – you have to start learning to read the slate, okay? And the easiest way to read the slate is
Where'd you go?
I just got an email that's saying from Fantasy Draft saying, we're sorry, but unfortunately the contest you entered, the $3,000 5-day survive in advance top 70%, did not receive enough entries to run and was therefore canceled.
What?
We've refunded your $0 entry fee.
What? What?
I'm about to be so majorly.
Is it? They're talking about tonight?
Yeah. I have no entries.
How are they saying it didn't have enough to run? What the hell is that?
I don't know, but I'm about to be. Ooh.
Let's put that aside for a second because that's a clerical error and somebody's going to lose their job over that.
Somebody's going to be really, really pissed.
Let all the other guys on Monkey Tilt right now email in support and bash that ridiculous comment, and it'll probably shake out by lunchtime. But holy crap, if that's legit, that's ridiculous. That honestly is the type of stuff that gets the feds watching you. That's a guaranteed payout. That's a guaranteed payout tournament.
Yeah, not only that, but they're refunding me $0 when I've invested 40 into it.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't work out for you, I hate to say it, but I'm glad I bailed on Wednesday. Because I lost mine.
But what happened? But what happened to all that money?
I don't know. Mine was gone for 3 days.
Oh, my God.
No, I would be hot.
Yeah, you want to talk about monkey too.
I would be hot right now. I there better not be a stray dog taking a crap in my backyard when I look out the window because that dog is going to get the what for. Holy cow. Anyway, let's try and set that aside for a second and get back to doing what you were doing because that's just obvious bullshit. Somebody – I'd laugh if somebody trolled your email. I would die laughing if somebody
– It's from Fantasy Draft.
I know, but they did something like that on one of the other podcasts back earlier this year in basketball where they set up a couple of dudes on April Fool's Day, and they totally – it was Matic. They messed up Davis Matic. And, dude, sucker was – they recorded the podcast. They recorded basically the prank. And because some dude called him and goes, hey, have you checked your – do you see this email? What the hell is this all about? And he just flipped his shit on air, and it was absolutely hysterical. So
well,
hopefully nobody's trying to do that to you.
We all know my feelings about Davis Matic.
Yeah, I understand it, but I'm telling you it was funnier than hell. But anyway, like I said, that has such a high likelihood of bogus clerical error mistake to it that for sure they're going to correct that.
God, I hope so. They better.
So,
otherwise, I can't speak for Kevin, but there will never be another nice word said about Fantasy Draft.
No, I think that a whole bunch of people will pull their money and bail.
Yeah, they've got.
That's why I say there's too much ramifications for something like that for that to be not a mistake.
They've got till 2 o'clock my time to fix it. Otherwise, I'm pulling and bailing, and it will be broadcast all over Twitter. So, okay. Anyways, let's go back to this. That just
try not to read your emails during a podcast.
Well, normally there's nothing really like important that could tilt me like that. My gosh, I've just been tilted for the last time.
We'll just...
Okay,
let's get back on track. Let me tilt you instead.
Let's
rock it
So when you're talking about strategy for pitchers, okay, because we all know that my strategy for pitchers differs than from hitters. Strategy for pitchers is this. Depending on the field size and the tournament layout, meaning what type of tournament I'm in and the field size, that will alter my threshold as far as ownership percentage for pitchers. Okay. On SP2 sites, I want one guaranteed, like, I want one as close of a lock as I can possibly get. Okay. Meaning I don't give a shit about one ownership percentage. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've still got nine other
ways to get away from it. I know.
Exactly.
To be different.
Okay. The second thing is, depending on if I'm in the Survivor or a cash game or a tournament or even a qualifier, okay, that will dictate, depending on the bats, on where I want to go with my ownership percentages. Okay. In MLB, and we'll use DraftKings right now since I don't like fantasy draft. Last night, let's see here. Oh, wow. Oh, I thought I won $25 last night on a free contest. Last night on DraftKings. Adam Wainwright was 36% owned, okay? Now, the rest of my team absolutely did shit because when I saw that ownership percentage, I got so scared because I had a full Seattle stack that I got off of it. And, yeah, that paid off really well. I got off of it, and I tried to get cute, and I went towards Cleveland against Cole Hamels, thinking that Cole Hamels was going to be highly owned. And, yeah, that didn't work. But if I would have known that Adam Wainwright was going to be 36% owned, I would have gone where?
Somewhere else.
Automatically, you think of the Mets, right?
Well, if you're trying to win a tournament or a Q or something, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I just want to point out, let's see here. Let me find him. I know he was in this tournament. I saw him because the guy in first place had him for a little while. Abaldo Jimenez, 16.5 points last night. Six inning pitched, 4 Ks.
You know, I was sitting at the baseball game last night with my daughter, and I was doing nothing but one eye on the field of play, the other eye on the big scoreboard that shows all the scores. So I'm sitting there watching how these games are going. And it started to dawn on me, we've talked about this before, that when an ace pitcher, a dominant elite ace pitcher like a Max Scherzer or a Clayton Kershaw or somebody takes the mound, how often it is that he fails to get any run support. And it's almost it's almost predictable in the guys in the dugout mentally take a little break that night and go, okay, we don't have to try as hard tonight. And I know they would never admit to that and they don't think that, but maybe subconsciously, if you're some kind of a sports psychologist, maybe there's something to that where, you know, oh my God, the fifth pitcher's on the mound. This guy's been getting shelled. We better really, really work these at bats and score some runs tonight. Those guys tend to get more run support. It seems like, you know, with recency bias and all, it seems like they get more run support than the aces, the bona fide aces do. So I'm sitting there watching that last night, and I'm like, gosh, dang it. Yes, Scherzer was having a dominant performance, and that's great. But you know what? On two pitcher sites, the Ubaldo Jimenez did not become the train wreck that I'm sitting here watching the scoreboard expecting to happen. I'm like, I almost loaded up on Washington bats. Why are they not tattooing this guy? Well, honestly, because of that little effect right there, the elite ace effect, maybe that's something that if you're doing those cues in those great big tournaments and those things, maybe that's something you can spot and identify and take a gamble on. Because really, those are the spots for that kind of theoretical thinking where you're sitting around going, what could feasibly happen and what's going to happen. You know, what's the payoff, first of all? If it's $10,000 on a $5 investment, then the payout is outstanding to take the risk. It doesn't have to happen very often. You'd have to play 2,000 tournaments at $5 to lose money if you don't hit the $10,000 prize, you know, much less all the cashing along the way. That's the poker mindset. But the point is, that's a hell of a flyer, but it's going to happen more than once out of every 2,000 times. So that's why you can take that gamble. That gamble is justified. Now, I want to look at what has a chance at hitting and has an increased likelihood of hitting tonight, and I think that might have been one. And I didn't think about it yesterday when we were talking on the pod. I certainly didn't cross my mind until about the third or fourth inning when I'm sitting up there in the nosebleeds with my daughter, and I went, oh, my God, it's the elite ace factor. These guys, you know, are just not supporting the guy. And therefore, Ubaldo Jimenez may be a quote-unquote crappy pitcher on paper, but he's having a hell of a night tonight, and it may be subconscious. Thoughts? Think there's anything to that psychologically?
Yes.
Because you'll never quantify it with statistics and paper. You'll never quantify that.
I do. I mean, we saw it last night with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
Jared Weaver and J.A. Happ.
Although Happ's not their ace, is he?
Yeah, he is. He's 17-4. He's up for the Cy Young.
See, that sucks because fantasy skews my thinking, and I don't watch the like I used to watch baseball. And so Happ just never crosses my mind.
He's not a dominant fantasy
guy. He never crosses
guy,
my mind.
But
elite ace, but you know what?
But
if
you
he's
think
a
the
Cy
ma-
Young
you
finalist, think, he's an elite
you
ace.
You think Major League Baseball players give a shit about our fantasy teams?
No, of course not.
Well, I mean, if they make us money, then yeah, cool, yay, woo!
That was the case. Matt Carpenter would have hit a couple of home runs for me alone last night.
Oh, he got robbed.
He would have tweeted me and said, there you go, Chop. But he didn't
do kidding.
That. No kidding.
He got robbed last night. And if I will tell you this.
And Brandon Moss would have tweeted me and said, ha, sucker, it was me tonight.
And Jed Jerko. I will tell you this. If you guys don't learn how to freaking catch a ball.
It's bad. They were kicking it everywhere.
And not only that, but oh my gosh, Yoenis Cespedes should have been out at third base. By the way,
that's another thing I wanted to ask you. And since we're not really breaking down games tonight, I wanted to ask, and it's not fantasy related, but we saw the replay. The whole stadium booed. New York supposedly gets it right because they can slow it down, but I don't know if they missed that one or not because I don't know the technical rule.
The technical rule is the hand has to be in the glove throughout the process of the tack.
Okay. Now, I know it's not like football. When football, when the nose of the ball breaks the goal, you know, the plane of the goal line, boom, play over, dead, done. He can fumble it from then on out. There's no continuation, nothing.
Yeah.
Play over, play dead.
Because technically, if you think about it,
baseball's not
that
way.
When a guy slides into a glove and the ball's in the glove, but he slides into it and the ball falls out, it's the same thing.
That's what I mean. It's not dead right there the minute his glove touches his foot because they do, you know, you got to make sure that the guy holds onto the ball. That's the whole reason back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s we used to blow up the catcher at home plate. We're trying to jar the ball loose is what we're trying to do, make him drop the ball because that little bit of continuation, I don't know if it's a one. They certainly don't count like we used to in backyard football with five Mississippis and all that, but it's at least a one count. You know, where they sit there and they delay. And the problem with that play, and the reason we thought they missed it, was the third base umpire vacated to go out and see the ball get down and see if they caught the ball out in shallow left field or middle left field. And then the home plate umpire had to race up the line and had to cover that play. And he was not in position. He was trying to get there, but he was not in the greatest position. So it was
right,
a perfect
but when
spot
he saw
count.
Wainwright come up without the
– I want to say he first called him out with his fist and then went safe immediately when he saw the hand come out of the glove.
He probably did.
But that ball
and,
was absolutely –
And that would have been – that was the correct call because I think if Wainwright's hand stays in the glove, then
– It gets overturned.
Yeah, it's – he's out. But I think because of that
– Yeah, we were talking to guys in the stands, and that was the only thing I could tell those guys. The only thing I can think of, and I don't know the rules specifically, but the only thing I could think of was that when his hand came out of the glove, it was kind of that whole continuation, like he dropped the ball, and it wasn't on an exchange for a throw like a double play because that's like the nuance to that rule. But – You know, it was like he just dropped the ball. He didn't hold on to the ball. And they're like, well, the ball never came out of the glove. I'm like, but his hand did.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that was
just an update for everybody on the Survivor. I just got a tweet from Fantasy Draft. And
said, whoopsie. Hashtag oops.
Yep. And I, well, I tweeted, I was like, did anybody else just get the email? And I had tweeted at them, and they said that that was a slight error in processing entries for tonight. Check the upcoming contest.
I'm going to quote your boy Davis Maddock.
Five.
Quote your boy Davis Maddock. That was an egregious error.
I'm sorry that I'm not smart enough to use the words egregious, Al. And I was like, I used your quote. I was like, thank you. I went full on monkey tilt for about 10 minutes.
Damn right.
And they go, no worries. We've got you covered at Fantasy Draft Players First.
Hashtag monkey tilt. Make it a thing, man.
Because of the fact that they tweeted me back and took care of it, good job for them.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the podcast is sponsored by Fantasy Draft.
And I might just go ahead and buy a hat now.
Keith re-upped the contract with fantasydraft.com through Twitter. We are now re-sponsored by them again. They never left. It was a temporary lover's quarrel.
That's fun.
Yeah.
All right, right on.
So it was
so anyway, what you were saying about the pitchers and construction.
Yeah, okay. For one, if you've got aces going, like a guy that can full out dominate, a guy like Max Scherzer, Jose Fernandez, you know, guys like that, then unless it's not a good spot for him, which I thought that I thought that Scherzer was fully capable of going out and dominating last night, but I also thought that there was a chance he goes up and gets tagged for four bombs.
Sure, he had some BVP against him.
Well, not only that, but you also look at it, and he's allowed over 30 home runs this year, and he does not discriminate versus right or left side of the plate.
Pretty much always a 20% chance a pitcher is going to have a less than stellar outing as well.
Right, and that's what I always use is, okay, what's the chances that this guy has a freaking phenomenal game? Is it more than what the ownership percentage is going to be? If so, I'm out, you know. But that's on FanDuel. That's on one pitcher sites, you know. If I would have projected Max Scherzer to be over 45% owned or 40% owned, I would have been out on him over there. I didn't think it was going to get that high. I thought maybe 35, and we all know my threshold for pitchers is about 35% in tournaments. You know, with tournaments at 35%, I'm just fine. You talk about 35 plus, I'm out. So, and you can lower that amount for hitters. Now, for hitters on Fantasy Draft and DraftKings, okay? Well, let's talk about Fantasy Draft here real quick first. For hitters on Fantasy Draft, literally you have two positions you can go to for lower ownership, and that's catcher and shortstop. Mm-hmm. Okay, unless it's a guy like Troy Tulowitzki or, you know, something like that.
Well, that's where you're going to find your scarcity on the other side. So it stands to reason everybody's going to forego that with the general positional requirements over on Fantasy Draft.
So there's a situation tonight, and we'll talk about this more throughout the day, and I'm sure we'll probably scream at each other in Slack. You've got Yovarden Gallardo in Yankee Stadium going against the New York Yankees. Well, now you've got Gary Sanchez, who's sitting at 4.5% or 4.5K on DraftKings and whatever. Well, you have to play a catcher on DraftKings and FanDuel. Okay. Here's the thing is he's going to be so highly owned. I'm 100% out on those two sites where you have to play catcher. Now, where I do have interest for him is on Fantasy Draft, where he's not going to be
as highly owned,
10-15% owned. I'm thinking that he's probably going to be maybe 15, if that, in the Survivor tonight, because people don't play catchers.
I know, but that's by now that shocks crap out of me.
So, it's hilarious. But on FanDuel, I'm out. DraftKings, I'm probably out. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I don't think the guy is a good play or that or whatever. It has everything to do with the fact that what does he need to do to kill me at his ownership percentage? He needs to get what? 19, 20 fantasy points, and I have to have a catcher that does not get to that. So if we're saying that he's going to be at 30-plus percent, is there a 30-plus percent chance that he gets 20 fantasy points?
No. Well,
okay.
Hard to say with somebody. Yes, hard to say with somebody running so white hot.
Here's the thing: is there a 70% chance that he doesn't?
Well, that's just saying the same thing, but that sounds a lot better.
See,
I'd be more inclined to say yes.
Yes, there is a greater shot that he does not get 20 fantasy points than he does because he's a one-trick pony. He hits. He drives and runs. Okay, he does not steal bases. He can hit for power, and don't get me wrong, the guy can hit 3 home runs tonight, and I can get 100 million tweets and messages on Slack saying that I was completely 100% dead-ass wrong for fading him. But I study game theory, and if you tell me that any player, I don't care who they are, any bat is going to be 25-plus percent owned, I'm out. In tournaments.
Well, baseball is so freaking fluky that you can make – that's a wise gamble to make because Mike Trout could be 75% owned and go 0-5.
But you notice the topic that hasn't come up on this one. We haven't talked about price or matchup.
No, but that's kind of like in a vacuum just strictly game theory. I mean, you still got to consider all of those factors in there.
I don't think you do.
And maybe that sways you a little bit back and forth. I mean, you still have
to.
You're telling me that if Mike Trout on FanDuel.
If Mike Trout was $2,000 on FanDuel facing.
And was going to be 65% owned, you fade him?
Yes.
Even in tournaments?
Yes.
Then why was everybody saying that Kiki Hernandez at $260 was a must play and A-Rod at $680 was a must play?
I didn't play A-Rod.
I didn't either, but how come people were saying that?
I played Kiki because I felt that nobody was going to own him when he was in the 8 hole.
At 200 and some odd bucks?
Yes.
He's like,
and he was still only, I think, 18, 19% owned.
Well, 82% of the world, dumb.
Okay.
I mean, to me, you still always have to consider price. To me, price is the determining factor in all of fantasy sports, period, end of story. You have to consider matchups. You have to consider ownership. You have to consider a lot of that stuff depending on what format you're doing and what you're trying to do. But
matchups, I would say yes.
Less baseball than other sports, I think. But even in baseball, price still is king to me because it's where all your value comes from. And I know it's very, very unpredictable.
In cash games, 100%. I agree with you. In anything that pays out more than 30% of the field, I agree with you 100%.
Let me ask you this, though.
Now, I'm not saying that guys aren't good values, okay? I'm not saying that you have to fade him if he's a good value. The better the value, the less likelihood I am to fade, unless his ownership percentage is going to be extremely high, okay? I'm going to – this is the last little nugget, and then we'll scream at each other on Slack, okay? Because I've got to go serve Catholic kids pizza. There is – the DraftKings live baseball final is happening this weekend, okay? It's in Toronto, okay? The Minnesota Twins are in Toronto. Pat Dean is a lefty versus Francisco Liriano, who is a lefty, okay? Guys, if you think that any part of this game is going to go sneaky, is going to be sneaky, you are vastly mistaken. DraftKings has paid for a suite for the live final contestants tonight. They will be at this game. If they are playing lineups, here's the thing. The ownership percentages for this game are going to be inflated because of how many of these live finalists are going to be playing lineups tonight. At this game, okay? So for me, three things. One, if I'm playing one to five tournament teams, I'm fading all of it. Or I'm playing Francisco Liriano because this Minnesota Twins lineup is just absolutely dog crap. Two, I'm only using Toronto hitters as one-offs. Because this game, the Toronto Blue Jays bats are going to be stacked in 15 million different directions. Okay? And three, if I'm making multiple lineups, like 10-plus, I'm going extremely underweight on the field on this one. Extremely underweight.
Okay.
Okay? So you will hear me scream this about 15 times during Slack today. That even though they're in good matchups, for tournaments, it might be a wise idea to fade, to try to find other options in just as good a spot elsewhere. And on 15 games, I don't think that that's going to be too hard. Make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Okay. Catholic kids want pizza.
Next time we do a podcast, I get to rebut my statements of why I think pitchers are less important, not unimportant, and why I think that bats rule the day. I get to rebut that next time we talk, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We might do one later on. We might do one tonight or tomorrow. Just a quick 30-minute one just for you to be able to rebut pretty quick.
Because
I'd be thinking of a
probably just in – I'll do it off the top of my head. I do most of my stuff on the fly anyway. That's why I can get caught twisted, have my words twisted. But to be quite honest with you, I'll put you on monkey tilt another time.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for us today. This is the DFS Army Podcast. This is the Daily Dispatch. We are Chop. I am Keith, and we are out.
All right. Eat lots of pizza.
Yeah, no kidding.